The Winner, written by David Baldacci, read by Francis Cassidy.
The brisk wind sailed straight down the narrow dirt road between the compression of thick woods on either side. Suddenly the road curved north and then just as abruptly dipped to the east. Over a slight rise, the view yielded still more trees, some dying, bent into what seemed painful shapes by wind, disease, and weather, but the majority were ramrod straight, with thickening girths and soaring leafy branches. On the left side of the road, the more diligent eye could discern a half-circle of open space consisting of mud, interspersed with patches of new spring grass. Also nestled with nature into this clearing were rusted engine blocks, piles of trash, a small mountain of bone-dry beer cans, discarded furniture, and a litany of other debris that served as visual art objects when covered with snow, and as home to snakes and other creatures when the mercury made its way north. Smack in the middle of that semicircular island rested a short, squat mobile trailer atop a crumbling cinderblock foundation. Seemingly, its only touch with the rest of the world were the electrical and telephone lines that ran down from the thick, leaning poles along the road and collided with one side of the trailer. The trailer was a decided eyesore in the middle of nowhere. Its occupants would have agreed with that description. The middle of nowhere was aptly applied to themselves as well. Inside the trailer, Luann looked at herself in the small mirror perched atop the leaning chest of drawers. She held her face at an unusual angle, not only because the battered piece of furniture listed to one side with a broken leg, but also because the mirror was shattered. Meandering lines grew outward on the surface of the glass like the slender branches of a sapling, such that if Luann had looked head-on into the mirror, she would have seen not one, but three faces in the reflection. Luann didn't smile as she studied herself. She could never really remember smiling at her appearance. Her looks were her only asset. That had been beaten into her head ever since she could remember, although she could have used some dental work. Growing up on unfluoridated well water and never stepping foot inside a dentist's office had contributed to that situation. No smarts, of course, her father had said over and over. No smarts or no opportunity to use them. She had never broached the subject with Benny Tyler, dead now these past 5 years. Her mother, Joy, who had passed away almost 3 years ago, had never been happier than after her husband died. That should have completely dispelled Benny Tyler's opinions of her mental ability, but little girls believed what their daddy told them, mostly unconditionally. She looked over to the wall where the clock hung. It was the only thing she had of her mother's, a family heirloom of sorts, as it had been given to Joy Tyler by her own mother on the day she married Benny. It had no intrinsic value. You could buy one in any pawn shop for $10. Yet Luann treasured it. As a little girl, Luann had listened to the slow, methodical ticks of that clock far into the night, knowing that in the middle of all the darkness it would always be there, it would always soothe her into sleep and greet her in the morning. Throughout her growing up, it had been one of her few anchoring points. It had a connection, too, in that it went back to her grandmother, a woman Luann had adored,